Cape Talk.
The BRICS Report. Russia.
And you are joined by Dr. Sarah Pinar, who's the former National Director for the SA Institute for International Affairs. Good morning, Sarah. So things hotting up, hey?
Yes, indeed. Things have been happening over in Russia.
No, indeed.
Shall I start?
Yes, go for it. The presidential election. Let's start there.
Yes, indeed. On last Sunday, the Russians went to the polls, and no surprise, they re-elected Vladimir Putin to serve another 6 years. That'll take us to 2024, by which time he will be one of Russia's longest-serving rulers ever. It's extraordinary. He had a landslide win. He won over 76% of the vote, which is more than they were expecting him to do. The other candidates trailed far behind. The communists were next at 12%. So he's very convincingly voted in. He has said, however, to someone who asked him, but he won't be staying until he's 100, which is just as well probably in a lot of ways. The problem the Russians had, or the Kremlin had, rather, was to get people out to vote when everyone knew he was going to win. And they tried their best in every possible way, both sort of encouraging and to some extent getting employers and parents through the schools to go out and vote. And they got quite a good turnout. 67% of voters did turn out to vote, even though the elections were, you know, a foregone conclusion. So I think they're happy about that too. More importantly for us looking outside, was it a fair election? There were international observers, and also Alexei Navalny, who wasn't allowed to stand at all, had observers at very many polling stations. The general conclusion is yes, there weren't any blatant examples that anyone picked up of cheating, ballot stuffing, that sort of thing. But on the other hand, the lack of meaningful opposition, said the international observers, is in itself really a democracy problem. If you have only one guy that anyone's going to vote for, you know, what does that really mean?
Well, exactly. Now, challenges ahead for Putin's fourth term, and one has to talk about Boris, I choose my words very, very carefully, Johnson, and that little fight that broke out.
I'm going to come to that in a minute, but you know, as always, as here and everywhere else, the election was basically fought not on international issues, but on local issues. The person in the street and what's in their pockets and what their future is likely to be. And so the usual sorts of promises were made, raising the living wage, bringing... Unemployment is not in a bad state. In fact, funnily enough, the Russian economy is not doing badly, despite sanctions, despite the fact the oil price isn't what it used to be. But a lot of people do feel the pinch, and of course the usual promises have been made, and we'll see what happens. One promise that wasn't made, and it's interesting for South Africa, is to deal with corruption, which is a huge problem in Russia at all levels of government. Transparency International rates Russian corruption as being 135th out of 190-odd countries in the world. You may be pleased to hear South Africa's only 71st. But we have dropped radically down the rankings over the last 10 years, I'm afraid. So yeah. Corruption wasn't mentioned, and a lot of people would say, oh dear, well, we wish it was. On the foreign policy thing, of course, the Russians are saying that the effect of the nerve poison attack in Salisbury in England a couple of weeks ago has only made Putin more popular. More people have gone to vote and vote for Russia. Putin's always promised to make Russia great again, to make it feared and respected in the world. And then when you get a foreign secretary like Mr. Boris Johnson, who says things like the World Cup, which will be held in Russia, Football World Cup this year, is like the 1936 Olympic Games, which Hitler sort of headed in Berlin, is really, it was a terrible faux pas. I was very upset about that. Mm. But the general Western view, of course, of the election has been very muted.
Yep.
Most of them haven't congratulated Mr. Putin on winning the election at all. Mr. Trump was told not to congratulate him in capital letters on a piece of paper, phoned Vladimir up and did exactly that. And you may like to know our president also, Cyril Ramaphosa, has also contacted Mr. Putin and congratulated him. And as we know, we'll be seeing Mr. Putin down here before too long.
Oh, my word. Okay. Dr. Sarah Pinar, always a pleasure chatting to you, former director for the SA Institute for International Affairs. Your time.